paid off marketing opportunity for me has been number one through local outreach. Yeah. That's the
thing. I think the biggest
local outreach is killer, because that's where you got to build your roots, and you're not going to build your roots of your business unless you're tapping into the local community.
And that's what keeps it cheap, is like going out there, doing the footwork of like getting out there and seeing the community. So then you can identify those opportunities. And we're here with our cash rules, everything around meals, so get your cheddar and pay off a lot of bills, cream series. Last week, we sat down in the dining room and talked about spending smartly. And this week, we'll be stepping outside of the restaurant as we talk about low-cost marketing and getting into your community events. This episode is budget marketing and engaging community events.
Nice.
So this town is about to be your town. So join us as we step out of the kitchen and into the community as we discuss marketing that is budget friendly while still super effective, and how to get involved in local community events. Organically generated fans are champions for your business that will be some of the biggest drivers to customers to your business, and expensive old school marketing is terrible at capturing this segment. Let's explore the different options for finding these kind of fans. But first, quick fire. What's a family favorite spot, and how did you come across it, Javier?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I would say Taste. It's a local place that you're able to mix and match one, two, three items. The reason behind it is my daughters, one of them, I have two daughters, one of them doesn't eat meat. The other one doesn't eat cheese. They have their own, and especially nowadays, everyone's got their own issues of how they, you know, can eat and what they want to eat. And that place lends to you mix and match your one, two, three item dishes.
I love that spot.
I love it too. It's such a great way to.
In the Southeast, there's a fast food spot called Cookout. And it's kind of like that. So if you don't know Taste, you're not in the Central Coast area. It, like, you see the menu, it's like you can pick. It's such a variety of stuff. It's like, here's a little something for little tiny salads, little slider, all sorts of, like. And Cookout was like that too. You go in there and it's like, do you want a corn dog for your side? Fuck it. have a corn dog for your side.
Yeah. And a lot of restaurants don't do it. We'll get into it. I'm gonna ask you yours right now. A lot of restaurants don't do it because they think it is just too hard. There's too many options. There are ways to get around it.
You gotta set yourself up success that way and be your thing. But
So quick fire to you. What is your family favorite spot?
So I say it's like we're in California. It's like the battle of the taquerias, especially the further south you go. Like I've been in San Francisco for over a decade, and then coming down here. So you have your Mission Street.
Mission Street is the best.
Vallarta is it? So down here, it's a family recommended Chacho's for us.
Yeah.
Killer spot, but there's so many and they're all great. But so it's like,
but what
which
is
one that is that first one that's like, what is that family and that person who like owns that spot and loves it? And which one is the first one that kind of gets to you? And like, that's what kind of Chacho's won. And so that's what we kind of talk about, that organic, like person that's like a big fan. That's like, no, you go here because I love it.
Yeah.
And like,
how to win them over. That's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Which is, like I said, some of the best people you can get. Everyone loves a party, and we're in the hospitality industry, or else that, or you're a huge fan of the Bear. If you're listening, so hosting the best party in town is basically your daily assignment. It's not always a balls-to-the-wall rager, but sometimes your scene's more like a fancy little tea party. Either way, you're trying to present the best version of the best time to your guests, so that they're drawn to spending their hard-earned dollars with you instead of the party down the street. We've been talking about how to get the party ready, but now you need to tell everyone about it. But the question is, but how? Today we're grooving with five funky ways you can engage your community. Dig. We will begin with ways to lock in a guest for return visits, finding ways to advertise while making money instead of costing you money, the best bang for your buck when you do pay for marketing, and getting involved in community forward events. And finally, we will finish with some different event opportunities that will generate for yourself. After we complete this episode breakdown, we're going to go over the entire cream series and even talk about our awesome interview with Ray from Repairs and give you all a teaser look into our next series.
Nice.
But let's turn the music up and the fog machine on. It's party time with a Restaurant Unconfidential.
Love it.
Perfect. Let's get the party going. Javier, we are talking about marketing today.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite tricks you'd like to share?
I love locking in guests for those return visits.
Yeah.
That's got to be the number one thing is like, if you get them in the door once, how am I going to actually get them to come back in again?
Yes.
Figure out their issues if they have them then. Figure out what it is. So number one is solve complaints. I love solving complaints with a gift card.
This is a good tip you told
Don't
me
Don't give cash back because cash back, you get a lot of the bad players that are just wanting their cash back. You want to make your concept and your idea that, like, I listen to you. I want you to have an amazing meal. There's not going to be any issues when I do service you and what you want. If there's an issue, I want to make it up to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a card to come back and try something else. Right. Because then it's more of, you came to me for a reason. I'm going to offer that and I'm going to honor it. That's the big thing. Another one is, you know, partner giving discounts. So partnering with restaurants, other restaurants giving discounts. One that I liked to do was I partnered with the Downtown Association.
Yeah.
And I said, give me a list of all the local, you know, spots that are part of the Downtown Association. If an employee of, say, the, you know, corner, you know, shoe store that is part of the Downtown Association comes to me and says, I'm an employee here. I'm going to honor their discount. I'm going to give them a 15% discount of being a downtown employee.
Yeah.
That was a big one for me. The other one we were talking about is like branded tokens or, you know, giving people, you know, value.
Those are cool for like, if you're at a bar
and
they have like a beer token program or something, or like if you have a main burger sandwich, like, Sylvester's here does that. Like, I can get a little token for a free burger. And
so my mom owned a restaurant connected to a Best Western, and she knew every day Best Western are going to come in and they're going to want She went in and looked at their little, you know, what does their lobby look like?
Yeah.
They weren't giving their customers their, you know, people to stay in there anything in the morning, in the afternoon. So what she did is she went back to him and said, look, I'm going to give you a bunch of little wooden tokens. And they're going to say free for one complimentary coffee. And that's every single person you check into the hotel here. You give them a wooden token and they're going to come to my restaurant to get that.
That's
wooden.
Super smart.
It's super smart.
And seeing like what's in your area. What can you.
None of them got a coffee and just a coffee. They all got a coffee with a breakfast. Exactly. A coffee with the Danish.
Totally.
Yeah.
The and that's something that like you can partner up with like a business or offer to a business, do it as a discount as like holidays.
And Best Western loved it because they were like giving something free to their customers.
And they didn't have to buy a coffee machine. Right. They don't have to have someone
looking
at
that. They're not spending any money. You got to look at it as like if you can eliminate them spending any more money, if you can eliminate them doing any more work, but you're able to just help them look better, you won.
And bosses like all the time, look at... You have a little office, you know, it's like, here, let me go grab $25 Starbucks cards or something like that. But if you can kind of catch them, and we always talk about that, think about where your customer is at the buying point.
Yep.
And so if it's around holiday season, they've got to get gifts for their employees, like get that information in front of them.
Get
them. Like, hey, we normally do $15 like lunch specials, but we'll sell it to you for $10 a person and you can get, you know, 100 like people like or 100 like dollars worth, get 10 tokens, like it's something to pass out.
Norwood, marketing sounds expensive. Can you offset these costs or even make money while still marketing?
Yeah, definitely. Like getting into the opening of our space, being owner operator, you know, you're not trying to spend any money on early marketing. But so I reach out and I try to find as many kind of like creative things like that. I know you've had a bunch of things you've brought up too, of like connecting and with your community. One thing, farmers markets or anything that's like a community event that's reoccurring. It can be great revenue streams.
One.
Yeah, they're
great. Because then you're embedded into the community. That's
and it's
great
also, one. You're catching that customer who is a potential customer at a point when they want to get something. So you're getting him, you're targeting him at the point of like, I'm ready to buy some lunch or dinner. I'm at the market. I'm like, I'm in that mode. So then you give them a taste of what you have and they're like, oh, you know, that's 10 times better.
They're buying.
It's a business card you can eat. Yes. They got to buy too.
Like, Yep. Don't feel like you're there taking their money or anything. No, they're already shopping. They're already looking. You're there as an option.
And that's like I say, like the, I mean, those are your top tier marketing opportunities to grab those people too that are like, I'm a huge fan of this now. Like I had this sandwich they do at the farmer's market, but now like I've got to get to their brick and mortar to see what else they can do. And I'm also telling every person I walk across on the way there.
I would do that when I did farmer's market. Our shop is right behind the street. Yeah, I mean, you got to literally direct them. I've seen some really cool stuff where there, it kind of blew my mind, but I saw a farmer's market with a, like a deli, and they were doing tri-tip sandwiches. Mm-hmm. They had Arrow taped every single Thursday that farmer's market would happen, taped going to their location.
Oh, yeah, smart.
Super smart, super cool. Like,
and providing that one signature item, right. It's putting your best foot forward, mm-hmm. probably at your best cost.
Yes.
And it's something that lets them kind of like,
now get in the door.
I know what they're about. Yep. Now I can go in there. I'm willing to try some other stuff. Mm-hmm. You've built some trust with them.
And even if they don't try any other stuff, they're addicted to the one thing you sold them.
Yeah, even if they just found the one favorite. That's a win right there.
That's it.
So another one, get involved with concerts and those large venue events. Mm. Those are amazing. You have a crowd that's stuck there for, you know, it's a daytime concert. They're stuck there all mm-hmm. day. They're not in and out, so they can't go grab food somewhere else. So it's one, it's, I love doing concerts because they're always great money for us mm-hmm. coming in. And it's all, they're always looking for a partner. So it's not something where you have to have a food truck or something like that. Yeah. You can go in there with a tent. So it's a great way to kind of start, get your feet wet in the catering stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's because I say too, like as you grow your catering thing, don't go out and buy, you know, all the equipment, but get that tent, a couple of them Schaefer's, the minimum that you need to get started, and then have those events start paying for themselves, and then they're helping you buy the better equipment.
I'll give you an example of that real quick. I was starting to do concerts, mm-hmm. and I thought kind of like I'm missing the boat because all of these other concepts are out there selling to the people. I'm back here behind the curtain selling to this band, right? It flipped instantly when the next week I had Iration walk into the restaurant and go, no, they catered our event last week. And so every employee, everyone's taking pictures of the band walking in. Then I realized, okay, that's, people are going to rush
this. You got to make most positives.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, so like they say, it's and then you kind of associate with that good time they had there. Then they kind of get that good.
Everyone else wants to be part of that.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, mm-hmm. I went to this awesome party. We were just having a great time all day, and then I had, you know, baby bear biscuits or something.
The band's eating baby bear biscuits. I want to try it.
They're like, oh yeah, totally. Now like I'm just had a great time. Now every time I think about that, I'm like, oh, I remember that great summer day.
Yep. Yeah,
and, like, I'm just filled with positive like memories of that. That just connect with us, and then partner with pop-up events. That's a great way. So these can be all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Say like catering for a monthly event. Like I do.
You're good at that.
Yeah, it's great ways to like anything that's like reoccurring is great. But like a signature event on the other side of town is great. Mm-hmm. So like if your brick and mortar doesn't move, it doesn't get up and go. Like that's one of the benefits of having like a food truck is you can get up and kind of go to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it before of like people, you know, they have their bubble, their nest of like how far they're kind of willing to go out for food.
Yeah.
And so to get that crowd from the other side of town, mm-hmm. do a pop-up event. You're making money.
So pop-ups, how did you, because a lot of people are going to want to get into pop-ups. How did you pick what pops I want to do?
I like a lot of times I just try to see who I enjoy being around and working with. And like, it's always good. I mean, you always want to be going out and trying stuff. And so that's how you kind of like gauge how well you're doing and also how like, these guys are killing. I got to crank my sir. So it's always, I always say go out and try as many restaurants and other places as you can. Mm-hmm. And then as you're doing that, if you find people that you like vibe with and like connect, or if you see their concepts are similar, but like maybe it's a bar and you have a restaurant and the bar is like totally the same kind of vibe. And you're like, hey, let's do a pop-up, you know, or if,
your pop-ups are perfect. That's why I asked. They're literally nailed to where I want this specific food if I'm eating this or enjoying this right now.
Yeah, it's a great way to like step out with your best foot. And you control all the variables.
Right.
Like you're going in there, you're partnering with someone that you like, you got
limited menu.
There's a crowd you like coming there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you limit the menu to what's going to excel for that like space and event and everything. So I always love that one because it's just, and then you're getting paid. Like you're making money the event. So like we have tons of wineries here, so that's a great way to go. We're in SLO, so if you want to go Paso Robles and then hit up that.
You're blessed. You got a lot of pop-up spots.
Yeah. So it's like, but even like in Monterey, so out of town. Mm-hmm. Like, so like even like popping out of town, like it's a great way to kind of.
Every city, every town has grand openings, new events happening, weekly events happening. Lock into those.
We'll go into the Chamber of Commerce, talking about them in a little bit. But that's a great tool to see who is doing an opening. If it's an office or something like that, I'd be like, hey, let's come do some food with you guys or something. Yeah. Like,
it's all great.
Having items at other spaces is killer. So bars that don't offer food, mm-hmm. that's a great opportunity. Wineries that need cheese boards or something's mm-hmm. fun, snacky. Delis are high-end service stations. Some people
even make pre-made things.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. All this pre-made from your restaurant. Yeah, exactly. Have them in like cold storage or in the spaces where like they need something nice. Right. Like
I've gone to wineries. For example, exactly. And they need a charcuterie board, and it's pre-made by a local person.
Yeah, and like charcuterie boards can be very like don't have to be dried meats and cheeses. It can be very like your take on it from your concept
and your local products, like this cheese and this meat from local
high-end service stations, like high nice gas stations or local markets. Mm-hmm. Kind of those are great spots to see, like, hey, what do you got? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And get some of your products
and then
there,
your name on it,
labeled,
make sure
exactly,
you
branded,
stick your sticker on it,
Instaprint, like just go get some nice stickers, make sure it looks right. Let's say like like you're the best version of your competition. Make sure you look just as good as them, exactly, like minimum. Right. That's your starting point.
What I did is I ended up making just real quick on that, the brand sticker rolls, because I was like, you know, all of these catering boxes and bags going out the door don't have my name on it.
Yeah.
So before even this whole Uber Eats, you know, like stickering the tops to make sure no one's ripping through them.
Yeah.
I used to do that with our own stickers because, and I would have a roll of stickers above the takeout order. And it was seal everything.
Yeah.
It's getting our name out there and it's showing that our quality, we're controlling our quality. We want to make sure that you're the first one to open up this bag, you know, and get to it.
Well, it's like we've talked about like the most valuable piece of real estate for like branding and for marketing in your space is this couple of inches right above the door handle.
Yes.
Because it's somewhere you have to look down at the door handle.
Every time.
The door. Same thing. Any of those like really sharp points where someone has to open their bag and look at your sticker.
Right.
Like it's one of those points where now you got that your logo right in front of them every single time they open their takeout.
Yes, throwing a menu in every bag. I mean, that's genius.
And that's how you get stretch your dollar. Like, so think about those times when someone absolutely has to look at your logo. Mm-hmm. Make sure there's a nice sticker there versus like going out spending a ton on branding, a bunch of them.
Yeah, keep it simple. Keep it simple
if
to
you're
start
starting
with.
Off, exactly.
Yeah.
Pick your battles.
There's no point
in
like, yeah, spending money that you don't need to.
Totally. Sure.
I love where this is all going, guys. Javi, what paid marketing opportunities work well with this budget-focused model of marketing?
So, first off, paid, I would go right into joining your local chamber of commerce, joining all your local clubs that are going to be supporting, that you can support through catering, through being involved in them, right? So they have all of your local events, networking through them is a big opportunity.
Yeah, they have the New to Town publications. So there's multiple magazines that the chamber makes sure gets in front of people.
Every town I've gotten into.
Guides, for every market, for every restaurant. Like
I've never been successful unless I'm part of the community. Yeah. That's what it is. A couple hundred bucks
to go to every single new person. Yeah, because the chamber kind of tries to subsidize and offset those costs. Right. So it's
for nothing, they'll give you a half page on their newsletter. It goes out to all the members. Really what you're doing with that is you're paying to become part of the community. You're paying for other community members and business people to say, hey, these guys are willing to come to the table with me, like me, and support the community, support what we're building up. And that's going to trickle down to everything else.
It's like jumping a couple steps into it instead of starting.
Yes. So the other thing is too, I mean, I know we're talking about paid marketing, but I donated to schools and communities, luncheons, my daughters, they went to the local elementary school, you know? And so I went to them and said, you know, do you have any affordable sponsorship opportunities through the local schools? And they brought up the fact that like, you can donate food for our teachers. So I started doing that. It's all word of mouth. The restaurant industry is word of mouth. And so who do you need to make sure is your number one cheerleader is your local people. And that's really what it comes down to. If you're going to pay for anything, pay to be more into the local environment. Pay to be more trusted with the local players in the industry. And that's really, you know, in your town, in your community. What about you? I mean, you know, Norwood, do you have any other, what would you tack on there for paid marketing opportunities in a new town? Cause you're new to here.
Yeah. You're saying like getting involved in those, new to town publications, those are big magazines of people that are new homeowners, new people that are like looking to spend, especially in an area like this where it's a lot of people that are moving here professionally, mm-hmm. especially so many people are in flux and moving to places for work and stuff and are bringing families along with them. So they're looking for, if they're working all day, like what's an easy thing for dinner. So those are the first things they go to. Yeah. And
knowing your community.
Yeah, people period. Aren't really going as much to like the Yellow Pages, White Pages, or anything like that. So like the next like spot they're going to run into you is going to be like, yeah, this kind of new to town publications. And then going on to like your SEO spot, like on your searches, and like once you get in, that's more like your online marketing and stuff.
Yeah. Which, and that's paid. To me, the paid became more valuable putting it into the local community. That's it.
Yeah.
Because then you have the word of mouth working for you and it's real people. A paying online can only get you so far. You need real testimonials of locals and you need people talking about you in every local spot.
Yeah.
And so that's where I found just better value. Getting
your eyes in front of people too. So like, I would say anywhere where people are meeting up, doing things like, there's tons of spaces like, golf courses do scorecards, like same thing with bowling leagues. Yes. Those are ways to get directly in front of people and they're very inexpensive.
Universities, colleges, they do a thing like our town here. They do a week of welcome. I dumped a bunch of money into that marketing, and that was the largest number one shift for me because all of a sudden I went and I started approaching the local community, understanding that I have 10,000 new customers coming in, which are coming through the university, through the colleges, right? How am I going to get them to understand that, like, maybe I'm a new spot they need to check out? It was giving away a lot of free things, shirts, cups, mugs, beer koozies. And there can only be so much time that so much time passes where they're wearing the shirt or they're using the koozie before they go, I got to go check this place out. And they become my number one customers. You know, it ended up, you know,
becoming all the, universities and schools too, and like they'll have all those fields have brand sponsored spaces. Events. All in the fencing and everything has just like at a major stadium or stuff, the same kind of branding opportunities they have. You have in the local side, and those are spaces that are there 365 that are held. So anytime there's any games or any sort of like activities, or if anyone's driving by and sees those, it's basically like baby billboards. Yep. Like youth leagues are really good for that too. Yes. Because if you think like on a set of seven fields that's used for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday games, there's practices, there's all those kind of spots where you have thousands of kids, the parents, all those families that are looking for that next spot to go, like, oh, I'm going to go, let's take the kids somewhere. I'm looking up.
And they spend and 90 minutes see. Staring at your brand, at your name, selling this type of food.
Yeah, it's somewhere
they talk themselves into it.
Billboards are expensive as hell. It's old school like ways, but like the way to take advantage of your community, be involved, be seen, and then get that back, but without spending as much as like a fucking billboard, couple grand on that.
I mean,
you can spend a couple hundred bucks on sponsorship for the year and get some, get a big, 3x6, big or something.
I mean, they take banners and
Just
put out.
Exactly.
I mean, really, all in all, is the paid op marketing opportunity for me has been number one. Through local outreach.
That's the
it.
Thing I think the biggest
message
is.
Local outreach is killer because that's where you got to build your roots, and you're not going to build your roots of your business unless you're tapping into the local community.
And that's what keeps it cheap is like going out there, doing the footwork of like getting out there and seeing the community. So then you can identify those opportunities. Like we're talking about a bunch of different ones, but they all involve like going out there, looking and seeing where the fields are, not relying on, all right, let me call this marketing team.
Right. You're not living on an island. You're part of a community now.
Because all they're going to do is sell you like radio time, billboards and stuff. But to get those things that people are actually going to care about, like, get the pound some pavement, see what's out there, and like reach
out.
Then
you meet the core people that are going to be very loyal to your brand.
Yeah. And that's what you want.
The organizations and then the clubs that are going to be very loyal to your brand. Yeah. That's what you want.
And then, we're talking about stretch that dollar. Get the ones that are going to actually come.
Yeah.
So there are paid ways to get your business out to your local economy. But I thought we were talking about keeping a tight marketing budget.
Mm-hmm.
What are free ways to get your name out there?
So, engaging community doesn't have to cost, like, even though we're trying to keep it low And the ones we talked about were, you know, a couple $100, keeping as low as possible. Mm-hmm. There's tons of ways you can get out there still without spending a penny. If you're doing Instagram, you're doing all that, making sure there's a spot you're directing everyone to tell them where you're going to be out. So like a digital calendar on your website, or using like a
weekly blast.
Exactly. Something calendar, that lets people know where you're going to be, because then you're doing all that marketing, you're generating that buzz, but you got to give them somewhere to direct that. Like, we'll be here, we're doing this special, we're doing Cinco de Mayo party.
And don't just blast it once. That's a huge thing. I've seen a lot of businesses blast their weekly calendar once, and I'm like, that story's dead and gone. Yeah. I don't even find it anymore. Make sure it lives somewhere that all ways they can find it.
Especially now with like stories and stuff, the way it
it's
is.
It's gone,
like,
and it's gone. Exactly. Make sure they can find your weekly schedule.
Yeah. And now all the time. Instagram actually has a feature where you could put, like, for a post, you can put add event, and then people can save it onto their calendar.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
So, perfect. Like I said, have it on your website. Community boards in your physical boards are big.
I have a great one for that. Every restaurant, I would just buy a big metal sheet. We would hang it on this right in the one wall that was like the community board, and I just put a ton of magnets on it. And I went and made a stencil sticker that said community board on the metal sheet, and I let the community police itself on those events, on things that were happening. But community boards are huge. I agree.
Yeah, so like I was saying, that it's a great way to, you can do it different ways, like bring in a lot of businesses, let them put their cards up, like those are great interactions, and then kind of, or like you said, like through your event boards, upcoming concerts, anything like that, that's a great way. And then those are spots too that keep an eye on it, and like those are events that you might be able to partner up with and do those, like I was saying with the pop-ups earlier. That's like a great organic way to like people to get involved. Like you said, like letting them kind of like interact with it too, and not being like behind glass kind
of thing.
It's a
true community. But you got to let them, you know, take care, police themselves. I mean, that's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah. Like, just whether it's, here's upcoming concert, here's yard sale, like that kind of stuff is just all killer.
Yeah, exactly. It's all part of it. If you could bring that into your four walls, into your actual business, then it feels like a community.
Yeah. If you're doing the Chamber of Commerce, which I definitely recommend, like at small businesses, like definitely be involved. But that also has tons of perks, like once you're involved with that. So kind of like if you've gone ahead and signed up for that,
yeah, let's tell
people
some perks
like,
about that. Yeah.
Might as well put that on like the free kind of thing, because I know our local and like most of them do one, the event calendar we already mentioned, but they'll do e-blasts too.
Yeah.
The whole network, which can be, you know,
that's my biggest thing is networking, is going to the actual, you got to get out of your place and go to these events that these chambers putting on and these things, because that's where you're going to actually be meeting the people who in return go, I just came to my birthday, I'm bringing 15 people to eat here. Those 15 people turn into 100 people loving your restaurant.
Yeah, so they also run like your local visitor centers. So like just like I was saying, capturing those people when they're coming new to town and becoming that first spot for them, like I was saying, Chacho's for us, or that taqueria that our first family member was like, this is the one. That's the one we go to, you know, years later. We're still going to them all the time. So if you can be that first one that's introduced, so catching someone when they're new to town or visiting. So taking advantage of that chamber, the visitor center is one that's often overlooked. You can get menus up there, pamphlets, cards for catering. So all sorts of spots.
You still get a lot of people going into the town, and the first thing they're going to go walk in is a chamber.
Yeah, a lot of
especially
people.
Especially ours. They're right downtown, and they own a huge building. And so people are going to go in there and say, hey, where can I find this and this and this? Have your menus out there.
Yeah. So let's see. Event groups on social media are really good to do. Like we have a couple here. And what a lot of those will do, especially if you're doing IG or Facebook, they'll put like a weekly rundown or
weekend
rundown.
What kind of
event
groups do you jump in on those?
There's some local ones here. Like your town's going to have all sorts of different ones. So like basically it's someone that's, you know, kind of collecting the info of what's kind of running around, like
weekly
your whole
happenings.
Town. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, and those are great because that's a center, like that's a central point. And like we talk about, like, capturing those people when they're looking for something to do, or where they are in the buying process. So if they're ready to, if they're actively like, I want to do something this weekend, let me look to where I look. If you want to be on that list of like, here's 10 things that are happening in your town right now. And usually those services are like, just reach out to us. We'll throw you on the
list.
That's
what's crazy. Free. It takes 2 seconds and you're hitting up tens of thousands of people.
Yeah. And it's
you got to use it.
It's where people specifically are like, I want to find stuff to plan to go with the kids this weekend.
Right.
And so, yeah, you get on those. Yep. Those are free. And then, like you talked about before, donations and services are great ways to connect with schools, medical facilities, be involved with local food pantries. And what's really, like I've talked about before, those are all write-offs. So depending on how you price things, like you can get 50%+ back on like what you're donating as a menu price, not what your base costs are. So like they're fantastic like opportunities. Like I always say, give to the food pantries as much as possible.
How do you give? This is something new to me, because I would always do donations, but it wouldn't be through the food pantry. It would be to organizations that are nonprofit organizations and do their caterings and all that. But when it comes down to a food pantry, how do you donate?
You just go. There's the food runners that'll pick it up, or or literally just go there and drop it off. Like it's super. They're very open, but those are great ways to connect with your community, because usually those will be ran by whether local churches or nonprofits. Like
there's a million spots in your
town. Yeah, yeah. Usually they're connected to something else. That's any also amount of meals.
What kind of tax write-offs or what are you looking at? What kind of benefit are you looking at for that? I mean,
it's depends on cost. We talked about it before. Uh-huh. I think on our 7-part series, we went into it a little bit, but basically it's depending on whether it does. It's a tax equation that is either the lower of two cost of, trying to remember off the top of my head. It's your food cost plus half of your menu price, or else double your food costs, whichever is the lower of the two.
Wow. Okay.
You can write off.
That's easy.
Yeah. So, like I said, like minimum, you're doubling your food costs, like off those donations.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's a great way. And then like those centers are all connected to someone else that's doing something in the community. They're specifically doing
pay
something
it forward.
Positive.
It's going
to
come back.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, and then, yeah, that's so awesome. Donating, whether it's, like you said, platters and stuff to schools, medical centers, like, hey, you're doing something cool, let me donate some food. You can write all that stuff off,
I didn't even write it off.
Yeah.
I mean, to tell you the truth, off. I literally did not, because I found it was like, oh, I'm doing a good thing for the community. What a dummy. You know what I mean? I got to look at those things, and everyone should look at those things and say, hey, if I can write off even just the food, because I'm not making money off it.
Yeah, everything you would normally... Yeah. Toss and stuff, like those things that you can package well and like donate, like are great ways to get involved with that. And that's a great way to kind of get your foot in the door with the organizations that you haven't really talked to, like really had a lot of interactions with. It might be like a food bank that might be connected to, like I said, like local churches or something. And that's something that could be like big catering revenue for you down the road. Like it's one of those things, like you said, like that positivity will pay itself forward.
Yeah. My success has come from all of this, from literally from being partnered and sponsored and giving, and you know, it hasn't come from the people coming in and just, you know, random servicing my business or coming in and taking advantage of it. It's been from the community building, really. That's what it's come down to.
Yes. So for the people who are involved with these local events and are taking advantage of the opportunities that are available, Javier, how do you make your own opportunities for community engagement?
You know what, I look at the concept that you're out to market with, that you're developing, and to me it was Mexican food. And so I looked at the community and I said, okay, what is it? If I'm giving the keys to, you know, the Mexican, the Hispanic background, all of that, I should be involved in the Cinco de Mayo events. Mm-hmm. I should be involved in the Taco Tuesday. I should be involved in the things that people expect me to be involved in. And so every time events would like this would happen, where like a Cinco de Mayo, I would take it to the extreme and blow it up and say, I'm your spot. I'm your guy. Come to my place. And I would mix in a fun aspect to it, like tortilla toss into Corona buckets in the front. Mm-hmm. And if you, before you step in, you get a free soda. Stand here. The bucket's there. If you can throw a corn tortilla into it, you get a free soda cup walking in. That kind of stuff. Literally on top of, I was maybe out of a tiny hole in the wall, 1,200 square feet, 1,300 square feet, making $5,000 to $10,000. I would double it by adding that little event. because it would make people could go anywhere they choose to go eat. But if you're adding another layer of it that I, you know, I'm appreciating this. I'd have somebody dressed in a taco outfit, you know, running around and you know, those kind of things is really make it a local event. So take that opportunity, connect with the community and say, I'm here to promote.
Maybe it started talking about, in the beginning of this, like the intro, like parties and making your space a party.
Yeah.
And like, it's interesting to see, like bring it full circle, like to like, yeah, not only to build on my success, I brought that party out into the streets and like,
right.
Yeah. It's like building.
I'm a host like, for the community for this party.
Yeah. Like turning Cinco de Mayo into like your big block party and like owning those spaces and like, yeah. It's a great way.
Because your
like,
business owns, say my business like was in a shopping center. I'm the only Mexican food in that shopping center. I have a right and a duty to Cinco de Mayo to bring people to that shopping center because it's my food, it's my brand, it's my culture. And it's going to benefit all these other, it's going to benefit, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond. It's going to benefit, you know, Banana Republic.
Yeah.
Everyone else in that shopping center is going to benefit from it. That from year one, once I took it on and blew it up, Banana Republic next year came to me 2 weeks before. Hey, what are we doing this year? How can we be involved? How can we? It just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah, people are going to want to be like involved. A part of it. Yeah. I use the example of in SF in San Francisco. Big block parties like that are really big. And so to set yourself up for success, you know, taking on those, especially like those curated event kind of things. And like people that don't take it and own it correctly. Like, so there's two food truck parks that are very popular. One is popular. Maybe it's more because it's in Soma and the location. And one is out by Bayview by the Chase Center, in between Chase Center and the Giants Stadium. Uh-huh. And they kill, even though it is more out necessity. There. It's out there, but But they do really, really well because they have really well-curated events and parties and stuff.
Sweet.
And so the Soma one will go out there and advertise it, but then the execution like really falls flat. Where the one over by Bayview Food Truck Park and the space over there, they provide fully like curated, and they think about, they talk to all the vendors and make sure everyone's on the same page, and they curate a fun thing, and it makes you want to come back, and then it makes you want to see like, oh, I came for this party.
Right.
But then let me go come back to try these guys out. Yeah. Or like, oh shit, I saw that they have putt-putt.
Yeah.
Like, I can involve go do that. Everybody. And like, and yeah, it's a good example of like creating those opportunities, like you're saying, for yourself. And then like, pay attention to the attention to detail kind of thing, making sure they execute well to provide that return customer, not just take advantage of it right then. But like it's creating that long-term.
I love that. And the whole thing about building a community, it's like, involve other restaurants too. It doesn't, people aren't just going for, they're going to love your food. They're going to love what you're doing. It doesn't mean that they're, you know, they should try other locals as well. And they're going to be involved. And then when that local community or that brand and that concept builds up their thing, they're going to think of everyone else too.
Yeah. That's, it's ultimately not expensive to go out there and create opportunities for yourself. It's like we've been talking about. It's all about footwork, getting out there, talking to your neighbor who might be a shoe store and thinking outside the box of just because they're selling shoes doesn't mean they can't have, you know, here's our, you know,
cross VIP promotion. Clients. Every shoe you sell, you get a free taco.
Yeah, exactly.
At Javier's place.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it works, because that one taco, you would have spent way more money to throw advertising out there for that person to walk in your door.
That's what people don't think about on the small business when they're first starting out. Something that definitely comes across once you start growing is your cost per customer. So to advertise, to even just to be open, to wait till someone walks in the door, you have a cost per customer always for in that marketing and the acquisition side of things. Mm-hmm. And so look at it. Like you said with your Taco Tuesday, I broke it down. I looked at my menu costs. I saw that the tacos were costing me, you know, 50 cents.
Yeah, 49 plated cents.
Up, out the door, ready to go. So that means if I sell them for a dollar, I'm still doubling what I'm making off that. But then all those people that come in for that. I went from having, you know, 30 people coming through all night on a Tuesday, slow Tuesday, to now I'm having to prep 3,000 taco shells.
And even that, a third of them would come back during the week again.
Exactly.
And it's so you not even about the one time. Yeah. It's about just showing them
how much
place.
It costs to get that customer. Yeah. It's what we talked about here.
Yeah, you're
in other
acquiring them for
with
that.
Marketing, the farmer's market stuff. Yep. Make money when you're marketing yourself rather than paying someone else. So the same thing with the Taco Tuesday. You're doubling your investment, but you're acquiring all these people versus having like it costs me, because when I do like Instagram posts and stuff that are boosted, it'll tell you right there. It's, you know, 15 cents per profile visit, or it tells you, you know, this is what it costs you to bring someone in and visit your site. So any of those kind of things, it's always something I wanted to bring up. Like, yeah, just the, I think the smaller business as they're starting out doesn't think of that like cost per acquisition.
Right. Well, you know what? A lot of, and the reason a lot of for me was the reason I wasn't thinking that way. I didn't know my individual items cost like down to the penny.
You got to know your food.
You got to know the food costs, or else none of this is even relevant.
Yeah,
you got to know your food costs so you know your one product or your products that you can just give away, that you can promote, that you can, you know, use to bring people in.
Yeah,
the taco was it for me. I was like, if I, and I actually went to a seminar that Cisco Foods put on called Put Butts in Seats, and that was the game changer for me, because when it went, then I broke down. It's the taco for me for 49 cents. If I can get somebody in for a dollar, I want them. I can win this customer over. So, yeah, a lot of good points. A lot of good points here, but it does come down to knowing your costs.
Yeah. Yeah. And, perfect. So do you have any fond memories of our cream series? What were prior to anything that stuck out to you as like, gotta hammer this home?
Yeah. You know what? It's actually coming down to cash rules everything.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's knowing your bottom line on everything. Bottom line on what you're spending. Bottom line on what you're charging. If we're talking about cash and cash rules everything, is knowing your numbers. And that's really what it comes down to.
Spreads out on so many things. Like we were talking about the kitchen equipment, not just the price tag, but repairs, those downline costs.
Exactly. Knowing everything in those. If you're going to do a promotion, what are you promoting and what does that cost you? It's coming down to knowing your numbers.
That's so true. Like, because if you're trying to run a budgeted like marketing thing or trying to run the budgeted equipment in the front, you got
to
know what
things
cost, what your budget really is. And that's something that can be overlooked. And so to take these next several steps, I think doing your homework and having those base costs down, the things that you should have with a strong business plan, the stuff that you should have done. Mm-hmm. And those are things too. Like if you haven't gotten it done,
it's work. I know it sucks.
Exactly. And
I've gone through it. I mean, plate costing every single item sucked.
Yeah.
You got to take a taco and you got to, I would literally tell a cook, make me the taco, the fuego taco that everyone's ordering. He'd hand it to me. I'd break it apart. Yeah. I'd take the amount of lettuce. I'd take the amount of cheese. I'd take the amount of meat. I'd take everything. It's a work.
Yeah.
But it's work to stabilize you and to make you a better entrepreneur.
And some people stressed because they haven't done it yet. And they maybe have been operating for a year.
Right, but what are you afraid of?
It's like, just go ahead and knock it out. Like, it's one of those things like, I should have done it.
Yeah.
Stop saying I should have.
Yeah.
Stop
being lazy. Jump in. Yeah. It's going to save and take your business to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Great. We'll go into a question here about marketing that we have from one of our listeners. And their question is, does no such thing as bad publicity apply to the restaurant space? It says that they have seen how Keith Lee on TikTok has made Chipotle sales decrease. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with who that guy is, but he's a famous TikTok food reviewer. He has millions of followers, and he recently went to Chipotle and got an order, and his portions were super low. Yeah, his portions were super low, so he went on there and just bashed them for it, and people are now uploading TikToks of empty Chipotles. So
yeah,
what's your thoughts on
Norwood? What's your thoughts on it? I got a lot, but what are your thoughts on it?
Millions of viewers. How many people is that actually in the scheme of what is millions of people? Yeah. So million people, that's, you know, one medium-sized town or city out of hundreds and hundreds in America. Mm-hmm. So when you like actually break down those numbers, not really like hitting that many people. The I think with some of those, and that's also why a professional food critic is a professional too. New York Times goes into your spot, I think, 6 times unannounced and stuff, like to make sure that you don't hit someone on a bad day.
Wow, that's cool.
And I think that's super important. So that's
everyone has their good and bad days.
So I think like because it does, as a TikTok or someone on that, you're kind of shopping in reactions. And so getting a big reaction drives up your numbers and stuff,
right?
Rather than maybe telling the full story of like exactly what's going on.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go in there and say it was a great meal. That doesn't bring any more people.
What's it? The old news. If it bleeds, it leads. Right. Like that's old news adage for a reason. Like that's what gets people drawn into it. So like they want to see like someone that's down. So. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my responses to like a lot of like those kind of like, what is the actual reach of, are these things like more regional? Is it more the squeaky wheel kind of gets heard more kind of thing? So that's why I don't stress too much. Like, and then some like Chipotle's, like when you're owned by McDonald's and stuff, you get to a point where you're kind of too big to fail based on like things like that. Like
one guy, when you know also, you have a thousand influencers like him.
He might say one thing. There's also a handful of news articles complaining about how Chipotle is getting people sick with salmonella and E. coli.
Exactly.
And stuff
they got a list of 20 those other things they're dealing with that are bigger.
Those are things that are really like clear your place out. That's but so that's my my kind of thing. Like on with those like with like influencers and stuff of like what is their reach really? Right. And so like sometimes it is. Yeah, it's not. Is it hurting you to get a negative thing because it does bring more eyes on you? And sometimes you know those things do like catch you and you can get
It could throw you under the bus. To me, it's more about, are you listening and are you involved in the conversation that's happening, that's going on out there? That's it. It's not so much are they affecting your business, but you could easily turn it right around and go, we heard you with a simple post on Chipotle. Yeah. We heard you and we're measuring all of our bowls to make sure that everyone is getting the same amount. Yeah. That's it. All of a sudden, you put a squash to what that person said and you instantly fix the problem. Yeah, it's simple. But the problem, go 3D chess, are you involved in that conversation and listening to it? That's more important.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, any kind of negative, because you can always flip it around.
You can flip it right away. But are you even hearing it and you're involved in that? Where your brand will die is when you become the Boston market and you are not relevant and even listening or in part or of combative. The conversation going on.
Because there's a difference like when you're combative to that kind of stuff.
Right.
And like, well, he doesn't know. He's dumb.
Right.
And he's like, that's your reason?
No.
He went in there and got your thing. Like, at the end of the day, he still paid for your product.
Don't be combative and against it. You just got to, you have to say,
listening is like, that's the biggest thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because every single customer that goes through your door, they're relevant to what they're saying of like your business.
Yeah. It's like, take away the stress of like, honestly,
but how can you turn it into positive? Reach?
Like, don't stress about it, but turn it around.
Turn it
around
positive instantly. You can.
And
I feel like they're telling you because they're begging you to turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
They're telling your business, hey, if you don't want to die, take that as a sign. If you don't want to die and you want outside feedback, which you should, here's what I'm thinking. Great. We heard you. Thank you. And we're fixing it. This is how we're approaching it. That's it.
Yeah, because that's the biggest thing. People just want to be heard.
Yeah,
and like exactly. That's the kind of whole.
And we're not going backwards.
Exact reason,
people are
like,
going to have
TikTok
a bigger
exists.
Soapbox. Exactly. It's a reason why everything exists that we're going on. These soapboxes. You're taking the average person. You're putting them on a huge soapbox. You better listen to them.
Yeah.
Because old school days of like they don't have a voice is gone. They do have a voice. They have a million followers.
Well, I mean, that's what I say too. Like, what is a million followers?
Right.
What is that scope? Like, what is it? Yeah. Is it a million people in your town where you're a restaurant serving? Right. So, like, and so I think that's where I say take the stress of like, that aspect of it is like, well, this person has a million followers and they said I'd suck or whatever. Yeah. It's like a million followers over the whole country is like, maybe 10 people in your town like follow them or something like that. Like, the actual scope of like the reach is like not really. There in the way you should be stressing about
it. Right. It's not even relevant. It doesn't even matter.
Instead, turn it around like you're saying. Listen to it. And
listen to it as one person telling you. Like, exactly. I don't care about his million followers. It's one person telling me that this is an issue within my four walls.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm Chipotle or a mom and pop shop. It's an issue that somebody's having within my four walls. fix it or die.
Yeah.
Fix it or it's going to grow.
Yeah.
Right? As an issue for everyone. So,
well, I mean, also, you don't want to let one person tell you how to run your business, too.
Right. Right.
And so it's not necessarily, is it something that's broken because you believe it's a concept thing that you like? So there is difference.
Whatever your belief is, vocalize it.
Like, if it's something that's portion control or something like that, that should definitely be addressed of like, we have measured scoop for a reason, guys. Right. Let's make sure we're giving them the right portions that we believe in and stuff.
Or if it's a brand protected thing like portion control, Chipotle could come out and say, look, we use a 4 ounce spoon for meat. We use a 5 ounce this for lettuce and cheese. We use a 2 ounce spoon for sour cream and salsas. Fine. But at least you squashed the idea that you're just doing everything broken.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's some methodical reasoning going behind how we're portioning things.
A good sincere reaction.
That's it. People just want to know you're human behind the concept.
Yeah.
And you're listening to us.
That's one of my things with like always being like, well, someone complained about it. Let me fix it. I always say pump the brakes on that.
Yeah. Don't fix everybody's issues because
listen to them. Yeah, you can always hear someone, make sure they feel like they're heard. Right. But that doesn't also mean that you give them the keys to the car.
To change
like,
the brand.
Right, you're driving now. Like, this is my restaurant, but you complain and you have got a couple followers.
That's
like,
why it's so important to have a brand. Yeah. That's why it's so important to follow your brand and have that tight where everybody follows it.
And do the work in the front end of, like, provide a quality thing that you believe in. And then listen to them. Like, because if you are having an off day, like, all right, let's get some training in there. Let's do that. Let's do this.
So perfect. Yeah. And, I mean, this whole community engagement. It's listening.
That is,
That's it. That's a great way to say it.
I think that's such an important part. It's like the takeaway from that. It's like listen, like when you do have those like reactions and stuff. Like, don't put up defensive walls. Don't let them also tell you how to run your business. But
it doesn't matter the amount of followers. Listen to them.
I love the, like ending the message on that. So. That concludes the cream series, and we highlighted the tools we use to connect with our guests. The heavy-duty toys in the back that prepare everything, our amazing dining rooms, and how to make them stand out in a crowd, and marketing on a budget with long-lasting connections with your community. Such an important thing. We also had a great interview with Ray from Repair, so make sure to go back and listen to that. And he's going into a service that streamlines the repair process, but is also awesome because he gave us tips from a lifetime of being in the service industry. We want you to be the best party in town and to make sure everyone knows it. So take these tips and run with them. Our next series is all about tech in the restaurant business with a bunch of great industry interviews with some of the top hardware and software groups in the industry. Javi is getting a little...
I'm pumped!
You're getting a little sweaty.
I'm pumped!
Levi's are getting a little tight. he's very excited.
Let's bring on the next toy.
He's very excited for this one.
Yeah.
So... get ready to beam up and join us on the USS Enterprising as we show you the tools for tomorrow and how to use them for success.